You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor. I am DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you this week, sir?
Man, I am doing well. I am doing well. As always, Wednesdays are my favorite days. I get to hang out with you. We got to talk about health. We got to talk about what's going on in the community and how are you doing?
I'm good. The weather's been pretty good. I've been outside taking advantage of that. Things are ramping up here at the museum during the Frida exhibit, so we have tons of traffic. I'm still wearing my mask in and out of the building if we're in areas where there are a lot of people, but once I get in our space, I'll take it off. But it's been pretty good. It's been great to just see people up and moving around and just feeling comfortable again, you know, with the weather getting better. So yeah, it's been good. So we have a guest with us today. Could you go ahead and do the introduction, Doc?
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to introduce Dr. Barbara Fisher, who's an OBGYN, but also specializes in high pregnancy, MFM. I always have a hard time at times switching from medical lingo to common lingo.
Layman's terms, like high risk.
high risk pregnancies. And anyway, Dr. Fisher, please introduce thyself. It's a pleasure having you. It's good to see you.
It's nice to meet you. Thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your program today.
Thank you for taking the time, seriously. So today we'll be revisiting COVID-19 and pregnancy. There have been, you know, it's been a long, long path for us dealing with COVID-19 and looking at how it affects us in different, you know, shape, forms, and fashion throughout our life and how that is different from person to person. And I'm sure with people who are pregnant, there are some additional precautions, some additional information that you should be aware of. So let's just start out. What are the risks for a pregnant person if they get COVID-19? Dr. Fisher.
What a great question. I'm glad you asked about that. If a pregnant person gets COVID-19, they're more likely to be severely ill compared to non-pregnant people. Risks in pregnancy include increased risk for hospitalization, admission to the intensive care unit, that goes up by threefold. There's a 2.4 increased risk for needing ECMO. That's that breathing machine that the ECMO circulates your blood outside of your body. There's a 1.7-fold increased risk of death in pregnancy. In addition, there's increased risk of pregnancy complications. Those include hemorrhaging or bleeding a lot after the baby is born. Sometimes you need transfusion if that happens. There's more blood pressure problems in pregnancy. Hypertensive disorders, and for that reason sometimes women or pregnant people need to deliver their babies early, and then they deal with the complications of prematurity. There's increased risk of stillbirth, which means the fetus dies inside before you get to the delivery date, which is just tragic and terrible. There's also been studies showing that newborns born to pregnant people who had COVID infection during pregnancy have an increased risk of needing to go to the intensive care unit for the small, fragile babies.
Outside of the obvious, what may be obvious to some of us, some of the members of our community, what are the circumstances that cause a pregnant person to be more susceptible or more in danger once they contract COVID?
So the risks of being infected when you're unvaccinated are higher than the risks when you're infected and you've been vaccinated. So we know for pregnant people and non-pregnant people, being infected when you're vaccinated, you tend to have more mild disease. Mm-hmm. And so when pregnant individuals are unvaccinated and get infected, they have higher chance of having moderate to severe illness, which results in the hospitalization and all the problems we talked about. COVID-19, the virus can invade and destroy the placenta. We worry about lack of oxygen to the developing fetus.
Wow. Okay. Invade and destroy the placenta, which of course has a myriad of effects. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, so we worry about stillbirth. We worry that inside the fetus is not getting enough oxygen. We don't completely understand all of the whys, but we know that the risk of stillbirth or the baby dying inside is higher for pregnant people who are infected with COVID.
Okay.
So you bring up something interesting, right? Which is the rate of you talked about stillbirths in women in people who are infected with COVID-19 while they're pregnant. Can you talk about the rates of stillbirths during this pandemic? Have we seen an increase or a decrease? Or have we seen what have the numbers looked like?
So thankfully, stillbirth in general among the population is low and uncommon. However, we have been seeing reports that pregnant people who have COVID-19 when they delivered were twice as likely to have a stillbirth compared to somebody who did not have COVID-19 during pregnancy. And the severity of the COVID-19 symptoms and their infection was a key factor in their heightened risk of stillbirth. So then we go back to the vaccination status. Having COVID-19, when you're vaccinated, you tend to have more mild disease. And when you're unvaccinated, your severity of disease is higher. And then that's when stillbirth is higher.
Hmm. So this has had an effect, of course, on fetuses. But can you also speak to the number of people who have died during pregnancy or shortly thereafter and how that has increased during the pandemic?
Yes, that is a good question. That is a great question. Thank you for asking. At the beginning of the pandemic, the number of people who died with pregnancy-related issues increased sharply. We believe some of this is due to pandemic-related disruptions. At the beginning of the pandemic, hospitals hadn't figured out how to deliver obstetric care safely. So we're lucky here in Oregon. We, since the beginning, have allowed pregnant people, when they've had their babies, have guests. The hospital systems keep changing, and so the local hospitals here, sometimes it's one guest. Most frequently, I work at Providence, is allowed two guests during labor, but we know in New York, at the epicenter at the beginning of the pandemic, pregnant people were not allowed to have any guests, and that led to pregnant people choosing to deliver at home. And we know that having a birth at home increases risk. So the way that the hospital systems have been impacted by COVID has been more than just the COVID infection, but the scarcity of resources and individuals choosing different ways and maybe not choosing the safest place to have their baby. Health systems were not set up to manage telehealth initially. So pregnant people, among other populations, were not getting all the care that was being delivered prior to the pandemic. I feel pretty good about that. We've figured that out pretty well, and many have been doing that. Hospitals are crowded. Emergency rooms were filled with COVID-19 infected individuals.
Yeah, I like how you highlight certain things, right? One being the fact that we know that when we have a lot of people who are going to the ER because they're infected or they're experiencing symptoms from COVID-19, it overwhelms the medical system. It overwhelms the resources that the hospital has, right? So folks, we tend to see more cases of people having more adverse effects due to not receiving adequate care. And like you pointed out, complications due to being pregnant, not getting enough care. We also saw it with people getting heart attacks and not showing up, not getting care when they needed it, or getting strokes and not getting care when they needed it because the hospitals were too full with people who were infected with COVID-19. So It's that's why the plea has been get vaccinated so that you don't end up in the hospital, so as not to strain the hospital system. Right now, thankfully, we have less than 200 people hospitalized in the state of Oregon who are infected with COVID-19. So that's that tells us that, you know, we have enough resources, we have enough providers, nurses, and all the administrative staff that that ensure that the hospitals function smoothly and safely.
Yeah, that's actually really, really good news. Great news. We've been talking about the impact, the community impact that we have on each other, whether we choose to get vaccinated, whether we choose to quarantine, whether we choose to wear a mask, and how these things don't necessarily just apply to just you. You know, there's a domino effect. And I think up until this point, we haven't really touched on the strain of resources and what that does mean to people who are pregnant. So I'm so glad we're able to bring this up now and spend some time discussing that. Because it's just not something that you consider. Unless you know someone personally who is pregnant, you're not really thinking about, you know, the resources that the people who are pregnant do and don't have access to based on the way we're conducting ourselves during the pandemic. So I'm so glad that, you know, that was mentioned.
And I should add, may I ask, it's tricky right now. The hospital systems are not letting kids in the hospital because they were trying to keep numbers down. So I might have a pregnant individual. Maybe she's a single mom, or maybe her partner's at work and she doesn't feel good, or she's not sure she's in labor. And just coming to the hospital when she has childcare barriers is another, or childcare issues is another barrier to seeking care. I've also had phone calls in the middle of the night from postpartum individuals who are worried their blood pressure is higher, they don't feel well. And after you've delivered, instead of coming to labor and delivery, you go to the ER. But in the ERs, the guest policies are also strict due to COVID pandemic. And so some postpartum individuals who I might be worried about as a high-risk specialist and think they need care are a little bit reluctant to seek care. So there are all these downstream domino effects that we tend to not think about with barriers to care as the hospitals are full and have the policies that they have to try to keep everyone safe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you bring up something that we, that has, I guess this is a it's loosely related, right? The social determinants of health, right? What are the supports that individuals have to make sure that they can get good access to care? And if you don't have adequate childcare, you're not going to go and seek medical help. So we have to make sure, as a society, we have to make sure that we're providing and supporting folks in a way that they can access care the way that that suits them, that meets their needs.
Yeah, quite often.
Absolutely, and it has to. And it has to do with having kids at home when you're used to going to a doctor's appointment with your young children. Pregnant people tend to have, I mean, a lot of them have kids at home and they're choosing to have another child. There's also social determinants of health affect our ability as we've moved over to using telehealth. That means you have to have a working smartphone. Because when I am calling you, I'm the high-risk doctor and I'm going to do a consultation and offer you a telehealth visit because maybe you can't come in because of childcare. But if you don't have a smartphone, when I send you the Doximity, we are using Doximity in my practice and you can't get the link and I can't connect with you. Maybe you're in a place, you're working all day and I can't talk to you because you're at work. Or maybe you're in a crowded place and it's very loud. Or maybe you don't have a home and you're not able to connect with me on a telehealth visit.
Yeah, got to keep all those factors in mind. The CDC recently reported that Black people are dying from childbirth at a greater rate than white people. Can either of you give any insight into why that could be happening?
Well, so how much time do you have? No, so actually, I should let Dr. Fisher speak to this since she's the expert in this field.
So vaccination rates among pregnant people are lower in general. We know that. That's not just for COVID-19. When I was a fellow in training, I studied H1N1 influenza during pregnancy, and we saw the exact same thing, that pregnant individuals were nervous to be vaccinated. So if you start from a place that the vaccination rates are lower among pregnant individuals in the general population, fewer than one third of pregnant people were vaccinated before or during their pregnancy, but the lowest rates of vaccination have been among pregnant Black people at about 15%. In Oregon, Black people have suffered disproportionately from the pandemic. While the percentage of people who tested positive with COVID-19 who died is higher among the white community, the percentage of people with COVID-19 who were hospitalized is higher in the Black community. And the overall case rates per 100,000 among the Black community is nearly double that of the white community.
Yeah, so you know, I think what we have to look at is as a percentage of what are those percentages off, right? When we look at those numbers, when we look at I think it was the COVID-net data that showed us that, you know, Black folks were being hospitalized at much higher rates than white folks in the state of Oregon. But it wasn't just true in the state of Oregon, right? It was true in the rest of the country. When we see those numbers, we have to have policies in place that ensure that we address the needs of those communities that are most impacted, right? Otherwise, what's the point of collecting those numbers? And if we don't respond to those numbers, it means that we're essentially saying it's okay for those people to die at such high rates. It's okay for those people to be hospitalized at such high rates. I think as a society, we have come out and said no. You know, Black lives matter, and our policies have to reflect that. That's what we really mean.
Thank you for that. It was great insight from both of you. Next question. Is it true that if you get vaccinated during pregnancy, that this can protect your child during pregnancy and after the baby is born?
It is. This is one of my favorite topics of this idea of getting vaccinated when you're a pregnant person and protecting both you and your fetus and when that fetus comes out and is a baby. So during pregnancy, the pregnant individual passes antibodies across the placenta, the umbilical cord, to the developing fetus, protecting them, the baby. When the baby is born, as we know right now with COVID-19, children under the age of 5 are not yet eligible for vaccination. But we do know if the pregnant person is vaccinated, they send antibodies or they pass antibodies across the placenta to the pregnancy, and then the babies are protected. And a recent study came out that showed for the first six months of life, there was less COVID-19 infection among babies born to pregnant individuals who are vaccinated. The study is huge, and I talked about it. And when I was interviewed for a different Oregon Health Authority newsletter, it is huge news. They found something similar for influenza. They studied moms who received influenza vaccination in Bangladesh, and the babies were less likely to be infected with influenza. So how great if you're pregnant, if you accept the vaccination, as we talked about earlier, less moderate to severe illness, less risk of complications. And then when your child is born and your baby can't be vaccinated at this time till the age of 5, knowing for the first 6 months of life, when these babies are fragile, they're little, they can't wear masks, that they are protected from vaccination.
You know, if I could just add that in individuals that have been vaccinated and are also chest feeding, aka breastfeeding, the antibodies that they make are passed on to their babies via the breast milk. And as a result, we suspect that babies are protected. Babies are protected by those antibodies that they receive through the breast milk.
What? And it's interesting, the CDC recently noted that 84% of babies hospitalized with COVID-19 were born to people who are not vaccinated during pregnancy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's okay. Huge, right? That's huge. If there is ever a plea to get vaccinated, that number there should say, "Whoa, I need to." If you want to protect your baby, which is what you know most folks want to do, vaccinating your baby is probably the best way to do it.
For anyone in the community that may still be vaccine hesitant, what are some long-term effects on the baby when a person gets vaccinated during their pregnancy, if any?
So far, there's no safety concerns I'm aware of. The last I looked with the passive surveillance system, over 180,000 pregnant people have been vaccinated. Mm. There are no short-term known negative consequences. And as far as I know, there's no long-term consequences, which is in contrary to the consequences if you're not vaccinated and the pregnant person. Like, we have to ask ourselves also what we're comparing to. And this is a conversation I'm having with my patients. We're worried about, I'm not sure what we're worried about. I'm not worried, but the long-term consequences. But we know if you're not vaccinated and you get infected and your pregnancy ends with a stillbirth, you have no baby. You have no child that you're raising. So there, we're comparing, when we compare things, we're comparing no adverse or negative outcomes compared to known outcomes associated with the consequences of not being vaccinated.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you have experts like Dr. Fisher here telling you that this is not, this is very safe and it's very effective, I think we should pay attention to that. We also know that the mechanism by which these antibodies are created using the mRNA vaccines, the chances of long-term side effects or even short-term side effects, long-term side effects are incredibly, incredibly rare. Actually, there are none that we know of because of the way mRNA is used in the body, right? As soon as it's used, it's destroyed, it's denatured, it's destroyed, and hence no long-term side effects.
So what you're saying is it does not rewrite your DNA? Because I've been hearing this. I just want to make sure. The Instagram medical community is steadfast with saying that it rewrites your, and you're saying it doesn't do that. All right, that's good.
Absolutely not. Your DNA is stored in the nucleus of your cells. mRNA that you get from these vaccines does not enter the nucleus of your cells. It's utilized in what's called the cytoplasm within the cell. So it does not interact with your DNA at all.
Excellent. All right. I remember when we first started this series, some of the people in my life were, you know, vaccine hesitant. And one of the things they were mentioning was the risk of miscarriage or infertility. Both men and women were concerned about being infertile as a result of being vaccinated.
And Nicki Minaj didn't help us with that.
No, right? No. As I recall, she did not. She absolutely did not help us with that. I can assume that because there has been no huge announcement that the vaccines that we're using right now have been causing miscarriages or infertility, that there has been no change. But I don't want to assume. Let's hear it from the experts.
There is currently, your lack of hearing is a true statement. There is currently no evidence that any vaccines, including COVID-19 vaccines, cause fertility problems in people. None of the three FDA-approved vaccines change our DNA. They don't interact with the organs necessary for reproduction. Individuals thinking about having children can get the vaccine as an effective way to prevent infections and complications related to COVID-19 during pregnancy.
Yeah. I think it's always good to remind people that there is evidence-based and there's research to explain the benefits of being vaccinated and what the risks are, the minor risks, depending on, you know, whatever conditions you may have. However, not getting vaccinated and opening yourself up to the myriad of complications that COVID-19 can cause in your life, like it's like, you know, there's no comparison for me. Why, you know, Why take that much of a risk when anything can happen, especially when we're still discovering, you know, some of the long-term COVID effects?
Totally. It's the number of patients that we've seen who have had COVID and things didn't turn out as well. It's way too much for people not to pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. And we've had 7 million people die worldwide, over 800,000 die in this country. So it's we have to. And unfortunately, I sound like a broken record now, but it's the same story. You need to get vaccinated, right? You need to get vaccinated to protect yourself and in turn protect others. So please get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Other than being fully vaccinated, what are some ways that pregnant people can protect themselves and their fetus from COVID-19? Are there any additional precautions they should be taking?
Well, this mask situation is a little bit confusing right now. I find confusion because we like to follow guidelines, and the guidelines are saying if the community spread is low, you could take your mask off. I am choosing to keep my mask on, that it makes me nervous when I've been going to the grocery store and there's 5 checkers. I have, in the last week, since the masks have been optional, have been choosing to go to the checker with the mask on. Mm. So we could continue to wear a mask in crowded indoor settings, distance ourselves, staying away from people who have symptoms like coughing or sneezing, and wash our hands a lot. The masking is a personal decision at this time, but I am making the personal decision to continue to wear my mask.
Yeah. Hey, kudos to you for coming out and saying that, right? I appreciate that. Actually, even DJ Ambush said when he's in the museum, he wears his mask because he wants to protect himself and protect others. I've shared the story of how I have 2 neighbors who are in their 80s that I enjoy hanging out with, and I wear my mask when I'm out in public places, and because I want to protect them. I want to be able to hang out with them knowing that I'm not bringing anything to them. So it's, and as we've talked about in the past, folks who are immunocompromised, meaning who have weakened immune systems, should be wearing masks. It's strongly advised that they continue wearing masks.
And I wear my mask for both myself. I don't want to get sick and infected and have some of these complications, but I also don't want to miss work. And I keep telling my patients that when they ask me my thoughts on this, if I get COVID, I can't come in and deliver your baby, and I cannot deliver the high risk pregnancy care that you've chosen for me to give you. So I'm wearing my mask so I can take care of the people around me.
Yeah. There are so many benefits to still wearing your mask. I mean, you could be walking around asymptomatic and not know it. In addition to COVID isn't the only thing that you don't want to catch out here. if you are a pregnant person, I'm sure there are complications from catching anything while you're pregnant, right?
We talked about the flu, right? And how the flu cases and flu deaths have plummeted in the last 2 years because we're wearing masks. And that really, really helps. I mean, every year the flu kills about 30 or so thousand people a year. Mm. Every single year. I mean, in hospital medicine, we call winter or the flu season the dying season, because that's when we see a lot of folks coming in with influenza A or B, and they get really sick and they die from it. And those numbers have gone. I mean, we've been way under 1,000 a year. I mean, from 30,000 to less than 1,000 a year. That's massive. That's a significant improvement. It means that the mitigation factors, whatever it is we're doing, which is wearing masks, it's saving a lot of lives.
Yeah. So before we close, are there any specific vaccines that a pregnant person should lean towards or shy away from? Does it really matter at this point?
That is a great question. In most situations, including for individuals who are pregnant or breastfeeding, the mRNA, also known as the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines, are preferred over the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. both for the primary vaccine series and the booster vaccine. The J&J or the Janux COVID-19 vaccine has shown in small numbers, but still it has been shown to cause low platelets and some blood clots in large blood vessels. And so there are certain people for which the J&J vaccine is still important, such as individuals who've had a severe reaction after an mRNA vaccine dose, or have a severe allergy to an ingredient in the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. Or if that's the only thing available and they'd otherwise become or stay unvaccinated.
Okay. Good information there. Dr. Picosi, did you have anything to add before we close out?
No, I just want to say the same thing that I always say, you know, take care of yourself. And if you can and you're able to, take care of somebody else,
right.
A neighbor, a friend, reach out to somebody and help somebody else.
And in this case, taking care of yourself is actually taking care of your neighbor.
True that.
Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Fisher, for joining us for this episode. Anyone looking for additional information or things that we discussed throughout this episode, you can definitely find it in the description and details for the podcast episode wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for joining us, and we will catch you next week.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.